Hi, I'm the Strategist Garboy. Today, I'm going to review one pretty low ABV American Pale Ale. A low ABV for an ale, at least. This one is from Maine. I'm going to set it up against another American beer, a Texan Normal ABV ale, slightly stronger than the first Pale Ale. The beers are in review order. Allagash Nowadays Blonde Ale, and the other one is Guava Rodeo. Our first contestant this week is a pale ale beer called Allagash Nowadays Blonde Ale from the Allagash Brewery in Portland, Maine. This beer is one of their more rare beers from their limited edition selection. Being a pale ale doesn't equal a low alcohol by volume, or shouldn't equal a low alcohol by volume. That is not what the pale in pale ale stands for. What it is the opposite of a thoroughly roasted beer. Often a pale ale compensates its light roasting and therefore its lower flavor disadvantage with plenty of spices, at least in Belgian pale ales. On Allagash's website, on this beer assortment, and on the can, it's stated, quote, "Take time today to lean way back in your chair and relax with Nowadays. This refined Belgian-style blonde ale is brewed like a lager. The result is crisp and dry, an even balance of flavor and refreshment, a beer for any day." End quote. Well, if it is brewed like a lager, that is to say, if it is bottom fermented, it is a lager per definition and not an ale, right? If it is bottom fermented, that would explain the pretty low ABV for an ale that this beer has. And what does refined in refined Belgian style blonde ale imply, I might add? On top of that, Systembolaget says that the preferred serving temperature for this ale is lower than usual for ales, in par with lager beers. The Nowadays Blonde Ale assortment contains water, barley malt, and that is apparently it. Neither the can nor the website mention anything else about ingredients than barley malt. But I think that we safely can ascertain that it has been brewed with hops and yeast also, perhaps also a little wheat malt too, but that is pure speculation. This particular beer is good until the end of 2022, according to the date on the can. I purchased this beer in mid-April 2022. The beer has been standing in my cooler since I purchased it. The can contains 35.5 centiliters, i.e. 12 liquid ounces, as usual is with American beers. It is a blue and golden can, featuring a garden chair for some reason. The garden chair may or may not stand in a golden desert. It is up to you, your imagination. But it would make sense. Who wouldn't like to quench one's thirst when sitting in the sun in a desert? Maine is located anywhere but close to a desert. Maine borders Canada in the US Northeast. This beer costs about 29 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.84. That is 95 cents per 4 ounces of beer. It could have been cheaper for such a low ABV, probably bottom fermented pale ale, but it has been hauled all the way from the US East Coast, from one of the most taxation burdened states in the US. Good for them, if they also have universal healthcare. If not, I sure hope that the people get some extra benefits out of their tax money. If I may speak my mind here, taxation has an optimal level, and when you surpass that level too far, or lay under that level too much, it is not good for the economy as a whole. The preferred serving temperature is, according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The nowadays blonde ale beer assortment has got a modest 5.5% ABV. How about the experience then? It smells okay, perfectly okay. It's got a 3 fingers tall head. It's a clear ale for sure, but there's a lot of bubbles inside the glass. So I guess there's a pretty good carbonation level, or high carbonation level. But I can't see my fingers through the glass. Really, not very, very good anyway. It's an ale, so why should I? Okay. The aroma is a little bit, I think it's a little bit hoppy and sweet. First impression. Well, I think it's a perfectly good beer. That is my first impression. It's not the best I've tried, but so far it's okay. And it's pretty rich actually. So even though it's 6%, I think it was 5.5%. 5.5%. Did I say that before, or did I say 6%? Or did I say no? I'm not sure. I don't remember. It's 5.5%, and it's pretty rich for 5.5%. It's a little bit, it's bread like white bread. It's, I wouldn't say yeasty, but it's an ale. It's not brewed like a lager beer, like I feared. It's a bit malty. Taste on my palate. some fruity taste. I guess it's the guava. No, it's not the guava. That was the other beer. But melon-like it is. Sweet or dry? I'd say that this beer is more sweet than dry. Pretty sweet. It's quite bitter and hoppy. It's not candy-like. A little bit fruity, melon-like melons. Or perhaps let's see. I have a template I'm following. Let's see. Perhaps a no, I wouldn't say tangerine, but it's melon-like, a little bit like honey-like, and that's about what I can discern from this beer in flavor. So let's continue here. Spices. Yeah, some peppery spices, I think. Like many Belgian beers have. And then, excuse me, this beer is also inspired by Belgian ales, Belgian pale ales. I think they say on the website at least. So it's not strange. But it's not very spicy, like many Belgian pale ales can be. A little bit more toned down. And the undertone is a little bit spicy. A little bit. Carbonation level is, I guess, pretty high or normal. It's not creamy. And it's not acidic and there are no aberrations, I think. No, I wouldn't say there are. It would be unfair to say. It's of course not dark roasted, it's a pale ale and it's I guess it's filtered. But a beer can an ale can be more or less filtered, but I think this is filtered as much as a usual a normal ale is. What about grading then? I'm actually a little bit because what I've read about it before. For you too, is not very positive. I was a bit suspicious, but it's actually better than I thought it would be, even now that I tried it for a while. I think I can grade this ale. Seven or eight devils out of 10 possible, but which? Excuse me again. It's pretty carbonate, well carbonated. I think I will. I don't know, actually. I don't know. 7 or 8 devils out of 10 possible. I'd like to be fair, but I can't decide. So, 7.5? Can we say that? I think that's the grading I will give it. So, let's move on to our next contestant. Our second contestant for this week is the Guava Rodeo from the Oscar Blues Brewery in Austin, Texas, USA. I have no good experiences with beers from Texas. Perhaps it is because they are like everything big in Texas, and thus they have no small craft beer breweries in Texas. Let us hope that this beer will break that streak, even though Oscar Blues Breweries is no small-scale craft beer brewery. On their website, they state that they have a copious amount of guava as a taste enhancer in this beer. What is guava, I say? It is a fruit, isn't it? Just kidding. But I have never tried guava as a fruit or in beers before. The ingredients in the Guava Rodeo beer assortment are water, barley malt, wheat malt, guava, and tangerine, and yeast, but I don't know if there are any hops in it. They might have flavored with guava and tangerine alone. But unfortunately, they have tampered with the genome in the yeast strings, and I tend to not appreciate beers when they have tampered with the yeast strings, like is common in Germany. This particular beer is good well until June 2022, according to the best before date on the bottle. I purchased this beer in mid-April 2022, but it has been standing in my cooler ever since, so it should be perfectly okay, even if it is mid-August now. The beer assortment is not represented on Systemblogget's website. The Guava Rodeo Ale beer assortment comes in an American standard 35.5 centiliter or 12 liquid ounces can. The can is delightfully baby light blue with colored fruit shapes on it. The Guava Rodeo Ale assortment costs about 27 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.65. That is 88 cents per 4 ounces of beer. That is cheap for being hauled all the way from Austin, Texas. But Texas is a low taxation state as opposed to Maine. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The Guava Rodeo Ale beer assortment has got a 6% ABV. How about the experience then? Okay, it's got a yellow color. I can see my fingers through the glass, but it's barely. And it's got about 2 fingers tall head and lots of bubbles inside the glass. I guess the aroma is guava. And the taste is guava. That's what I guess. It must be because it's very prevalent, the taste in it. Uh, So it's kind of cloudy, and the color is yellow, clear, orange like. And the aroma is guava, I guess. And yeah, first impression. A sour, very sour ale. I'm not sure. I would drink this every day, and perhaps not even once in a while. We'll see in a moment. First impression is that it's a little bit sour, or much too sour. It's just not any beer. It's a characteristic beer, so it's only for a few people's taste buds to appreciate this beer, I guess. It's a characteristic beer. It's rich. Don't think it's bread-like, no. It's fruity-like. I don't think it's yeasty. Even though it is an ale, it's not malty, and the taste on my palate is very strongly guava taste. Very strong guava taste. I guess you could call it flavor. I mean, I don't dislike this beer. I don't. But it's just that it doesn't really taste like a beer. It's sweet. A little bit like a lemon, a soda, much like a soda with alcohol and without that much sugar as they usually have in sodas. It's not directly bitter, it's sour. I don't think they have any hoppiness in it. It's the guava, all of it, the taste enhancer. Because it is really a taste enhancer. I mean, in the strong sense of a taste. But I like it, actually. I didn't think I would minutes ago. It's not candy-like, but fruit. Yeah, maybe. Like a caramel. Candy caramel. Yeah, maybe. I don't think so. It's not that sweet, actually. It's more like the fruitiness, the fruit sweet. The what's it called? Anyway, it's apart from the guava and the tangerine. It's got no more spices in it, I guess. And the undertone is sour. The carbonation level is. I'm glad I tried this beer. It's not a bad beer. Don't mistake my judgment or my grading of it later on for that it's a bad beer. But it's an odd beer. It's not creamy. I wouldn't say that it's acidic. Acidic is more for me like artificial sourness, but this is sour, natural sour. And there are no aberrations. The flavors in it are meant to be there. I guess it's filtered. Yeah. The tangerine in it, as they say they have tangerine in it, but I don't know. I don't sense much of it. It's much more guava than tangerine, I guess. Or the guava is much stronger in its taste or flavor, whatever. Okay, what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? When do you drink this beer? I wonder. It's not for your average dinner. And it's not for your average everyday beer. But I don't know. If you're gonna, it's difficult to give this beer a grading, any grading, because it's not like other beers. I think I have to grade this beer for what it is, a soda beer. And I grade this beer 8 devils out of 10 possible then. But if I was to grade it as a beer, a regular beer, I would have graded it... oh, difficult. This is difficult. 4 or 5 devils out of 10 possible. But I take it for what it is. 8 devils out of 10 possible. You could even grade it more if you wish to. It's all about taste, preferences. There's nothing else to it. So I guess we'll end it there by putting an 8 on it. 8 devils out of 10 possible. Okay. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. This week's lesson is a technical lesson. I call it Nuclear Bunker Busters. Whether the US military and the Chinese military realize it or not, a nuclear bomb is a sophisticated weapon that relies heavily on that the bomb mechanism is intact before detonation. It is not a simple explosive gunpowder warhead. I doubt if detonating a long-range ballistic nuclear missile warhead fast enough can be achieved, since the warhead mechanism will become demolished and dysfunctional within the time window required with a Mach 5 or 6 impact. That is up to and including 7,100 kilometers per hour or 4,500 miles per hour. That is more than 2,000 meters per second. The missile warhead will become shredded radioactive metal scrap as soon as it hits the ground, or before it reached 10 meters in 0.005 seconds. Anyway, I find it improbable that you can harden the warhead for it to be intact within the detonation window. By the way, it may also be detonated with the aid of explosives, but I don't know. It used to be. I find it improbable that they will ever test my assumption, except for in the computer realm, since the US and Russia, and I don't know if whether China has also signed a treaty that bans above ground nuclear tests. That's why the US tested a nuclear bomb buried below ground for this purpose. They can only test the effect from the nuclear blast, not if the nuclear warhead can survive impact long enough for it to be able to detonate. But I guess there is a chance they can detonate the warhead while it is still in the air and hope to penetrate the surface simultaneously. I think it is a slim chance. Actually, the regular long-range ballistic missile is flying at Mach 17, but only at high trajectories. It isn't probable that the Chinese have ever signed a nuclear treaty. Thank you and see you later, alligator, after a while, crocodile.